Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
How are you, Armando?
What up, JR?
What's going on with you? How's everything?
Everything is fine and dandy, my friend. A week in Indianapolis in February and early March. Nothing can be finer than that.
Ah, okay. So tell us what the weather is right now. Is it a balmy 35 or 40 degrees?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Actually, it was in the 60s today, and it was like, where am I? What is this? But the fact of the matter is, and here's a little truth that not a lot of people know outside of NFL people, you don't actually have to go outside in Indianapolis during the combine. They got, the
tunnels, yeah.
The walkways that lead to the convention center, that lead to the stadium, that lead to the hotels. It's like you're never really outside if you don't want to be.
Yeah, well, every now and then you got to get some food, and some of them restaurants happen to be, outside. So at least it's not too bad for you. Some players, they may find out that things ain't all that good for them right now. I know Justin Fields is looking to avoid any NFL news. You got Justin Jefferson. I know they're saying, oh, yeah, of course we want to keep him. Yeah, Russell Wilson is obviously in the news. What is the biggest story that has come out of a coach's mouth or anything that's been said today?
Well, let's see. So on the Russell Wilson front, Sean Payton, basically explained that after the combine next Tuesday and Wednesday, he's going to meet with ownership. And that's when they're going to finalize a decision on Russell Wilson. And so at the very least, you have a little bit of a timeline on what's going on there. We don't know officially what is going to happen, but let's face it. Russell Wilson is going to be playing elsewhere in 2024. That's pretty much set and done, regardless of all the meetings and all the more studying and all of the more salary cap space and everything else. You don't do Russell Wilson like the Denver Broncos did Russell Wilson at the end of last year, and then bring him back. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's a matter of formality to make the breakup a little easier. Armando Salguero is joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. Where do you think the most likely landing destination is for Russell Wilson? Where would be a good fit?
That's a great question. I wish I had a great answer that you can play in a soundbite in mid-March when it happens. Atlanta obviously is going to be a place where people are looking to. It's all the people that are in the market for a quarterback and may not have a ready-made plan because either they're not high enough in the draft to get their forever quarterback, or don't come with a conviction on finding a second tier quarterback that they can develop. Minnesota, if they don't land Kirk Cousins, perhaps. There's Tampa Bay, if they don't re-sign Baker Mayfield, which, by the way, they have full intentions of re-signing Baker Mayfield. So there's a couple of possibilities. I wouldn't say that Russell is going to get a vast array of choices. Let's put it that way. And he will have choices, by the way, because he does have a no-trade clause. And so whatever happens with him, he's going to be pretty much, if not in the driver's seat, he's going to have his hand on the wheel. No doubt about that.
Armando Salguero is here with us, covers the NFL for OutKick. You talked about Kirk Cousins, and we've heard about how much he and Justin Jefferson want to continue to play each other. Is it just also a matter of formality, a matter of negotiating when we hear all these trade talks? Do you think they'll both be back in Minnesota next year?
Kirk Cousins, all things being equal, would like to be back with the Vikings. The Vikings, all things being equal, would like Kirk Cousins back. But everybody wants their price. And the Kirk Cousins' price and the Minnesota Vikings' price are two different prices. So that's a little bit problematic. And the way that gets resolved is Kirk Cousins gets to go into free agency, and other teams will either line up or won't for his services, and he'll be able to compare whatever offer he receives to what the Minnesota Vikings are offering. And the Vikings are gambling and betting that they're doing Kirk Cousins good, and their offer will stand up, and particularly so in the fact that it's familiar and he's played there and he knows what to expect and he knows who his teammates are going to be, and he's played with them. Whereas Kirk Cousins is thinking, I don't know, I'm pretty good. Maybe I should go out there and see if I can do better. And he's going to test the market, and he's earned the right. And so that's what's going to happen there. My guess is that ultimately Kirk Cousins ends up back in Minnesota.
Well, Armando, let's stay in the division up in the NFC North, and let's take a look at the Bears. And we know everything between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, and we heard from Eberflus, we need a quarterback who's great at the end of the game. And then Ryan Poles is leaving everything open-ended. No one is sharing their full plan. What do you think will happen with Fields? What do you think happens with that number one, Caleb Williams, right?
I'm shocked that they didn't share their full plans. I came here exclusively with the assignment of having my ears wide open for them to share their full plans, and they just didn't do it. Very, very disappointed. Yeah, so look, what you don't have the number one overall pick very often. And if you do, you better pick somebody that's, assuming you don't trade it, right? You better pick someone that's going to be there 10, maybe 12 years and is going to lead you to Super Bowls, because that's what the expectation for that pick is. And that doesn't mean you get a center. It doesn't mean you draft a defensive tackle, although you need defensive tackles to win Super Bowls. You need a franchise forever game-changing dynamic quarterback. And I think that's what the Chicago Bears are intent on finding and intent on drafting. And if you've got one of those, but you drafted somebody that you hoped would be one of those a couple of, 3 years ago or whatever it was, there's not enough room in Dodge for both of those gunslingers. Somebody's got to go. And the guy that's got to go is the guy that's been there a while. So I think that they're going to put Justin Fields on the trade block. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to what they hope that they're going to get. And, forward we go.
As they kind of indicated, they want to get this done at or around free agency, so they keep their options open if they are to trade him, which I think we all know they're going to. What are some potential destinations that would be a good fit for him to continue to develop?
We're back with Atlanta, aren't we?
Hey.
The Falcons are – everybody's going to play quarterback for the Falcons in 2024. And the reason for that is perhaps – they've got the 8th overall pick. So they're likely not going to get Caleb Williams. They're likely not going to get, Daniels from LSU. I don't know what the deal is with Drake May. You hear different things about him. But chances are they're not going to be able to land him. And so the idea that perhaps Justin Fields matches up better if you give up like a third round pick or something like that for him, and he he lines up better for the Falcons than, say, a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, and the evaluation on Justin Fields is higher than a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, then you go that route. By the way, I do believe the Falcons have multiple third-round picks. And so that makes sense. And then you still use the number 8 overall pick on hopefully making your team even better. And you don't have to spend it on a quarterback. And so that's one way of looking at it. This is all conjecture. The Denver Broncos, as you know, will have a vacancy, and they've got to go through the exercise of the Bo Nix and the Michael Penix Jr. and all those guys and the Spencer Rattler and all those people. So they're going to do that, and they're going to probably do the same exercise comparing their evaluation of those guys versus maybe a Justin Fields.
Armando Sarguera is here with us, senior NFL writer for Outkick. This is only the beginning of Combine Week, and we know we haven't seen any of the players or prospects in action yet. We know some are showing up just to talk and not to go out there and perform. What can we expect, or what should we look out for as this week continues on?
Well, that is true, what you said, as far as there's a lot of guys that are here just to talk and to go through the medical exams and to be interviewed by the teams and meet with the teams. And, you know, the household names of those include Caleb Williams, include Drake May, include the quarterbacks that everybody's going, but wait a second, they're fun to watch. Let's see them throw. J.J. McCarthy's going to throw. And he's pretty good. He won a national championship. So that should be interesting. But you're absolutely right. The guys that teams probably would have loved to see aren't going to, do that. They're going to defer to their pro days. And the teams are going to be fine with it ultimately because they've got a lot of tape on all those guys.
Well, soon enough, we're going to find out what happens in free agency in 2 weeks. We know after that, a month from then, we're going to move on to the draft. Armando, I want to thank you for coming through and sharing your perspective, and I'm glad that it's not freezing cold in Indianapolis for you, okay? I know it's not Florida.
My pleasure. And by the way, JR, I should have mentioned the Raiders, too. They're in that quarterback scrum chase for somebody, and they're low enough in the draft to where they might be also looking at being in the mix for a Russell Wilson or a Justin Fields.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up before I let you go, Armando. This is a separate question. How the hell did Tom Telesco just end up with that job, with the job that he just finished with the Chargers? I'm just saying. I thought when you don't do a good job, you don't just have a lateral move to another place.
Yeah, Tom Telesco would tell you that, hey, man, Justin Herbert, I picked him. And Joey Bosa, I picked him. And Derwin James, I picked him. A bunch of other those guys. And by the way, I signed Khalil Mack, too, and he had 17 sacks last year.
Yeah.
The Chargers had a lot of issues, man. Telesco may have been part of it, no doubt about it. But there's a lot of issues.
Yeah, you take the good and the bad, and from his perspective, I guess you emphasize the good. Hey.
Of course.
That's how the NFL works. Armando, where can people follow you and all your work?
Yeah, just at Armando Salguero, Salguero, and Outkick.com and FoxNews.com.
All right, good luck with the vertical jump and the 40, okay, Armando?
The bench press is my event, but yeah, no problem. I'll do the other ones too.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.